Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Oh, hi, hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our second show of the day. Give me a cheer if you've been drinking since lunchtime. That's genuinely more than I expected. Well done. I loved it. I was out there earlier and I didn't realise that as you come in, the man on the door just says, drunk women. And and this woman just went, how dare you? She was very drunk. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. This fucking fly, mate. Have you seen it? Has it been around you? Yeah. Yeah.
He's been here all day. He really has, though.
And it's a bit insulting. He just fucked off as well. Started the show. He's gone. But are you guys ready for us to bring out our special guest? Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for writer and actor. It's Rachel Harper.
Yay, Rachel! Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm grand. I'm great. It's my first time at Edinburgh Fringe. It's fun.
That's
and
not
walkable.
How you say it.
That's not how I say it.
No, it's Edinburgh. People mess up the first time. Carry on, I'm sorry.
I'm Fringay, or we still Fringe. We're still sticking with Edinburgh Fringe. That's the... I was doing the French pronunciation. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry. Thought it was cultured. I thought it was on that kind of podcast. That's fine.
Very international.
That's the appeal. Yeah. That's the appeal. Yeah.
Rachel, we have one question for you, and that is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have. Up until recently, all the crimes against me had been like social, but this one was actually like if we'd caught him, I would have had such a day in court. I got punched in the face.
What?
I know, by a stranger, which actually that it's probably better than someone I know and love. But it was a man. I was on a first date with a boy. The first mistake, that was an issue. We were coming back to the train station that I live nearby, and they put a piano in the train station. I don't live in a classy place. Like you shouldn't have touched it. There's different things on that piano. It was disgusting. But I was drunk enough to be like, oh my God, it's so romantic. And this guy played piano, and I was like swooning. And then this ran random bloke out of nowhere rushes up, starts calling him, can I say it's the C word?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, fab. Calling him a cunt. You're all thinking, what funny C word is she going to come up with? Ah, conservative. No, same thing. Oops. But yeah, starts calling him a cunt. Oh, you cunt. And I cannot stress enough, this boy is actually quite pretty. Like, really nice bone structure, the kind you don't want to interfere with. So I put myself between him and this guy, because also I kind of think that men are less likely to hit a woman in that scenario.
Right.
Don't
right.
bank on that, ladies. Fucking terrible idea. They do. Wow. Shit, yeah. So I was like, mate, back off. And he pushed me by the head. And then I was confident. I got out of my phone. I was like, I'm gonna fucking cancel you. Spiked it out of my hand like fucking netball in high school and stamped on it and kicked it.
No.
The phone was fine. But then,
thank God.
Then, yeah, spiked me square across the jaw and slit the inside of my mouth open and gave me a big stonk. And thank you, my God, do it again. Oh my God, I know, it was so bad. I'm gonna be traumatized. But then the fun kicked off, because then I was like, oh, I've never been punched in the face before. I'll be honest, kind of on my bucket list. I don't want to because it's a thing that you don't want to experience it, but also, ooh, what would it feel like? Would I take it well? I took it like a trooper. Oh my God. I was like fucking RoboCop. I Rocky the blood off my face. And I just treated myself to a proper like nice fancy coat. I threw that on the floor, and never has that touched a floor before in its life. I have a mannequin that I placed the coat on. I'm not mannequin tax bracket, guys. It was just a one-time thing. I threw the coat off, and then I went full-blown like my mother, because my mum always says, Rich, you can't be stronger, but you can be crazier. Oh, there's something really animalistic about releasing your inner crazy. I chased him down three streets in the
oh
dark.
My God.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Is this guy still playing piano?
It was the Benny Hill theme tune. No, that guy was trailing along in the back, and I had to turn around and be like, sweetheart, just call the police. Come on. Yes. So I was dragging one man behind me while I chased the other one down.
Wow.
Threatening to burn his house down. And it got to us. I was like, I'm going to find out where you live and I'm going to burn it down. I'm going to find out where you work. You're going to lose your job. I'm going to find out who your mum is. Take her on a nice date. Treat her really good. Get her a steak dinner. Tell her she raised a little cunt.
It was great fun. It was great fun.
I never, I never want women to get punched in the face. But
no, we never want women to get... I have that bumper sticker and I don't drive. So I just slap it on the back and walk around. But I also, the worst thing when you say like what happened is, and I don't want to say it's the blokes, but it's the, am I right? Yeah. Yeah. Whenever a woman says that, we all go,
but it is, yeah.
It's going to be them. Yeah. Blokes tend to say to me, well, you want to be careful in that situation. Yeah. You don't know what you could have done. And I'm like, listen, when a person, especially if it's gender, if you're a victim of a crime, fucking go, just do whatever comes naturally. No one can tell you what to do when you're in that position. Yeah. It's adrenaline, it's high stakes. He hid behind a car.
Did he?
And I tell you what, you'll never feel better than when you made a grown man hide behind a Vauxhall Corsa. Thanks, guy. Yeah.
Oh my God.
What a story.
So you sort of caught him?
Well, semi-caught him. Then he disappeared. If it had been a bigger car, if it was one of those big, nice camper vans, guys. No, but he snuck away like a little rat. Oh. Little, I think I was shouting, little pig boy, wait. I was like squealing after, like, oh, were you running to, little pig? Yeah, I was. And the worst part was when the police came, I had to be very serious. I was like, gentlemen, if there is a video that anyone has taken from their windows of a very drunk woman screaming, I'm going to burn your house down, I'm going to date your mother, I would just like you to know that it was entirely called for. And the police looked at me and he went, yeah, you're bleeding from your mouth. It was. You're fine. Good job. At one point, he started laughing because I was like, and he really punched me like a bitch, you know? Like, he came real close and he spiked me. And the police officer started laughing. And then he realized what he was doing. He was like, oh my God, I'm really sorry. But the way you tell this, it's really funny. And it shouldn't. And I was like, thank you so much. I'm practicing for a podcast. I'm going to be on here. Yeah.
Holy shit. So what happened next? Did they find?
Second date. right. I'm kidding. It's real fun when the guy who punches you in the face has less red flags than the man you were dating. Yeah, the fight lasted longer, everybody. No, the police said, we will take details and call you. And now I have a nice letter pinned up on my fridge. And no consequences. Yeah, it just says crime reference number. A very nice lady phoned me and she said, hi, this is like Julia from Victim Support. Like, if you need anything, we're here. And I think it's amazing they do this. It's wonderful. But I was like, all right, Julia. Poor dickhead, eh? Right, yeah, have a nice day. I've got somewhere. I'm cracking up. So I was lucky in that it didn't shake me up and I can really appreciate how it would. And I even looked out for the guy and the next day I texted him. I said, last night was... It's truly traumatic. Are you feeling shaky? How are you feeling? Are you okay? And he was like, yeah, I'm all right. I'm fine. I was like, you bitch. I had to hold peas on my face on a first date while you were in my flat. And I was like, you're doing okay. I mean, the bar is low, gentlemen. It's limbo now. It's, yeah.
So did he just not, he just didn't really, because I think that's good to know what a new love is going to be like in a crisis.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And we don't, I shouldn't say all this, but he's a nice guy. He's fine. He's chill. But yeah, people would say like, why would you date someone that like, didn't like get involved, and I was like, you haven't seen me in a fight. Like, God bless this guy. The understudy came on and she was living in the spotlight. I had a great time. God bless him.
Well, we always ask in this podcast, we say, what would you say to that person now? And it can either be the guy you dated or the guy that punched you in the face.
Okay, I'm gonna say something that works for both of them. I'm gonna find out where you live. Give me your mother's number.
Yeah, I'd probably have a nice relationship with her, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Wow, well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's absolutely fucking bonkers. So, are we ready to solve some true crime? Yeah! Okay, today's true crime, we find ourselves at the Lord Crewe Arms Hotel in Bamborough, which is about 70 miles south of Edinburgh, where a cosy room with bed and breakfast is £199 per night. But not only do you get bed and breakfast, you also get a ghost.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's a spooky one. It's a spooky one.
I really like the ghosts. Oh. Right. You got a big ooh.
This is the ghost of Lady Crewe, which sounds like a Taylor Swift album. Sure. Her real name was Dorothy Forster, and she was known as the darling of the Jacobite uprising of 1715.
Oh, yes, my.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. We're doing some satirical stuff tonight. Because of the incredible way that she saved her brother's life. But before we go into the story, there's something I have to tell you about her brother, Tom, and it involves the job he had. And it's sort of horrible, horrible job, truly quite disgusting.
Was he an accountant?
Okay, we've got accountant. That is my question to you. What do you think Tom did for a job?
And it's 17 what?
1715.
And it's a horrible job.
It's a horrible job.
Traffic warden.
Now he's like that fucking horse. Proper pissed me off. Yeah.
He had to behead people.
Okay.
Wow, that's a good guess.
Executioner.
The pier point,
yeah, nice.
Of this day.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. Oof. No. I can't. It's the time frame. I'm really, really bad with history. So anything I think of, it's not applicable to 1715. I mean,
well, pretend it was
what was the political situation like back then? What were you, the MPs? Where were they?
Pretend that 1715 is 5:15. And that's not how history works. Okay, so you actually, though, in sort of asking that question, you have answered the question, because I'm afraid he was a Tory MP.
Oh my God, I was going to say. Do you know what? I was so close. I was so, but after the Conservative thing early, I didn't know what the vibe was. I'm at the fringe. I know what the fucking vibe is. Sorry, MP.
So, and also, I was kind of right, because the Tories are killing people.
Yes.
We are going satirical tonight. I didn't see that coming. This isn't a story about a Tory MP, although it is, but this is a story about a sister's love for her brother. So, not in an Isle of Wight way, don't worry.
You can't monopolise that, okay?
Yeah, we've all got incest. Yeah. You don't own it.
Make incest outcest, guys. That's what I say. Hang in.
Make incest outcest.
Shake it all about, Seth. Carry on. Carry on. I don't like myself.
So Dorothy and Tom, they come from a wealthy family. Their father was an MP, because of course he was. And Dorothy was known for being bold and beautiful.
Bold and beautiful?
Bold.
Bold. She was just because fashion changes. Yeah. I don't know.
Really body positivity.
Yeah.
So Tom becomes commander of the Jacobite forces during the uprising.
Oh, boy.
However, Tom is described as ill-equipped to command anything. I feel like his ex-wife wrote that.
Hannah.
Yeah,
nothing changes.
I love this. With this case, I was like, how do I get the audience on side? Fuck Tories!
Hannah, just because there might be some really stupid Americans at home who don't know what the Jacobite uprising was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For those stupid Americans.
Just for them, just in case.
It was about people eating crackers and they had to do like 7 in a minute without water.
Oh my God.
And people went fucking mental. Do you know what? Also, as somebody who researched this case, I possibly should have looked into that. I was just like, it's an uprising, guys.
I just want to know, would we today be like pro-Jacobite uprising or...
I feel like pro uprising is a pretty good, like, if it's an uprising, it sounds positive, doesn't it? Like rally against the institution. I'm going to take an absolute point and say it was a great thing. I'll Google it and feel fucking terrible later.
It sounds like we've got some knowledgeable people over here going,
I know, murmur from the left wing.
The Jacobites, my guys.
Like quite literally the left wing. It's okay. Okay, fine.
Okay. You know what? I can research it myself.
Everyone go home, research. However, Tom, he surrendered to government forces without a fight, which is not like a Tory because they won't surrender until you fucking kick them out. But Tom is found guilty of high treason.
Oh.
Yeah. He's taken to Newgate Prison in London, which is pretty far from Edinburgh. I don't know, I'm worried that he'll be missing home.
They did a lot of the executions there, though, no?
They did, because he was sentenced to death.
Oh, nice. No. I'm not pro-death. That's a good answer. So...
Dorothy's not... I love that someone's done a joke in the audience. I talked over it and someone else went, "Way!" I imagine it was good. We don't have time. So Dorothy is not having this. She's like, you're not killing my brother. Outcest, not incest. And she rides a horse all the way from London. No, all the way to London from Bamborough. But she's riding Pillion. Does anyone know what that means?
It was his name. Our Pillion. A beautiful horse.
Is it when she hasn't got her legs over either side of the horse? She's like side saddle or whatever.
Ah, side saddle.
Oh, that's what they call it.
Is she backwards?
Ah, yeah. That's reverse cowgirl, I believe. Oh, we all saw that joke. Don't laugh at me.
We got any horsey people in the crowd? Pillion?
Where are horse girls?
Oh, I'm gonna put a hand up. Yes, me. I've had a horse.
She's a passenger, so someone else is driving the horse.
Oh, okay.
How long have you been waiting for your moment? How long? She's been like, Pillion, one day. I've been to 4 podcast recordings. Come on, Pillion. There we go. Yes.
I meant to have said driving the horse. Okay. Oh, for the podcast listeners, Taylor's doing a kind of driving, like she's driving a car.
Yeah, but sometimes... really funny, so come to a live show.
Okay, so yes, it means she's on the back. She is a passenger. Okay. But who? Someone from the village is driving the horse. Who is driving the horse?
The horse driver.
Nice. Also, I should say that, so she's going to break her brother out of prison. That's her plan. She's bold, right. She's beautiful. But... who would be useful to her in a jailbreak?
Ooh, a blacksmith. A locksmith. Yeah. Oh, I got the Smiths wrong. There's so many Smiths.
One of them Smiths.
One of the Smiths. Jaden.
Oh, he'd be fucking useless.
Yeah. Yeah, but imagine the really deep quotes he'd be like, life is like riding a horse. Like, it happens. That's very Jaden.
Any advance on Jaden Smith.
We're not going to top Jaden Smith.
Okay, well, actually, you got it right, Rachel. Straight away, it was a blacksmith.
It was a blacksmith. Yeah. All right.
So it was the local blacksmith who you would have thought would be quite useful in a jailbreak because he's kind of like into metal and stuff. But
yeah.
For the listeners, I was headbanging. It was very funny. Come to a live show.
Actually, what's funny about this blacksmith is like she takes blacksmith to her jailbreak, and then like I can't find anything else about him in this whole story.
Oh wow!
Yeah, like
you just hate to see it.
Well, the thing is, he needs his furnace. He can't do nothing
without a furnace.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
He's like yeah,
and he rode all that way like, damn it, I'm useless.
They didn't think it through.
I just assume maybe he just wanted to go and see Hamilton or something, and he was just like, do you know what? I'll take you to London, bub. So Dorothy wants to break her brother out of jail.
Yeah, wow.
The way she does it is to do with clothing. So up top, any thoughts?
Dress him like a guard or whatever they were called back then.
Dress him like a guard.
Stripping. But hear me out. And that's actually all I've got. But wasn't there such confidence in the way I said that? A distraction? Was there some kind of use a clothing distraction as opposed to disguise?
Okay. Okay.
It was just, yeah. Tits out, basically.
Okay, we've got tits out. We've got guard.
Executioner's hood.
Oh.
Dressed like the executioner. How she's getting him out, I haven't worked that out yet.
That's nice, getting him out. So she's like, yeah, I've come for this guy. I'm the executioner.
And they're like,
I'm the executioner, because she'd have a high voice. I'm the executioner.
Elmo.
Kermit.
What a way to go.
I'm very sorry. It's not easy being dead.
That's really good. I don't know. I was going to say she smuggles in some clothes for him to put on.
Interesting.
I still haven't got worked out how she unlocks the door.
We're workshopping it.
There's no judgment in Blue Sky.
No, exactly.
Which now this is. Or the old laundry thing. That's clothes.
Oh, laundry.
Put them in the laundry.
Okay, well, it involves an accomplice. It's not Kermit. She hires a maid and starts visiting her brother in jail with the maid every few days. One day she visits her brother alone, but leaves the prison with the maid.
Oh.
What has she done?
She's put him in lady clothes.
Yes, gender nonconformity in 1715. Love it. Love to see it.
Yes. I mean, this is what happened because she's like wearing a big frock because it's 1715. She's able to wear all of the maid's clothes underneath because they'll be very threadbare because she was a fair employer.
And she just got them used to, they're always together.
Yeah. Wow. How did she get the cell unlocked though?
Well, because she was allowed in to visit him. And then the guard sort of let two people out going like, oh yeah, it's probably her and a maid.
Right.
But her maid's 6'4".
Okay.
You just had to make sure not to go like, thank you, on the way out.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, it's quite impressive, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to add another bit. I don't know whether anyone's seen this online, but I saw it online recently about this portrait that was, oh no, portrait's the wrong word, painting that was sold for millions and millions of pounds. And it involved a story about a guy who was, he was sentenced to be starved to death. So he was in his jail being starved to death. And he lived for like 6 months, a year. He just kept on fucking living. He had only ever had one visitor. Who was it?
A sandwich. And just took little bites out of him every time.
The visitor was searched every time that they visited. Okay. Any thoughts on what it...
Was it kind of a baby bird situation?
Yeah.
Is it like I meant just feeding him baby birds. I don't know. Smuggle it. You've got to smuggle it, so it's got to be... I mean, that's the better option, guys.
What's the baby? What's the baby bird? I don't get the reference.
Oh, regurgitate, like a...
So kept food in
like
his mouth.
Or that was like, baby. Is bird. There like a condom full of porridge up someone's ass?
Oh, I say a baby bird, and everyone's like, "That's repulsive." Stick it up the butt. All right, great. Yeah, whack it out. Quaker oats, fab.
also like a porridge. I have a bratwurst at least. Like, why have porridge? Like, if you're going to store something.
Malleable.
Guys, yeah. I'll give you a clue. Yeah. The person who was visiting was a woman.
Breast milk.
I love the heckles on this show.
I mean,
breast milk.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. God, nice. Our job is never done. Hi, son. I know it wasn't her son, but
it was her dad.
No.
Yeah, and I remember telling, I told my friend about this, and she was like, "You would see your dad." I was like, "I don't know that one."
No. No, that's the worst.
Her dad's pretty fit though. Like, to be fair, like, yeah.
This is so disturbing.
What a horrible scenario.
He's a 10, but you have to breastfeed him in prison, and he's your father. He's an 8. That's right.
This is awful.
Oh my God. Give me a cheer if you've seen that painting. Oh, and a few perverts in. Okay, hello.
What is but it? What's of the, her breastfeeding?
The, yeah, it's like literally through tit through the bars.
Tit through the bars.
That's the name of the painting.
That old Usher song.
Honestly, these...
Oil on canvas.
These people didn't pay to come and hear about this.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they did.
They did.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly the kind of thing they want to take home with them.
This is the gold.
Drunk women solving crime.
All right, let's go. We've got Russell Coe and Sparky TKO, because there's always money in the banana stand. Russell Coe and Sparky TKO, because there's always money in the banana stand. Russell Coe, Sparky TKO, always money in the banana stand. Russell Coe, Sparky TKO, always money in the banana stand. That's been our week's shout-outs. Thank you very much. And yes, Always Money in the Banana Stand was somebody's name. So thanks so much for your support. Have you checked out our Patreon yet? You get things in return like ad-free listening. We have a whole back catalog of bonus content. We like to release early episodes and just give you all the juicy details we can, really. I don't know what that means. It means I talk about my dogs on there a lot. So if any of this appeals, we really appreciate your support. Thanks for listening.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
What a scenario to be presented with. Like, do you let your dad starve to death? Or...
But he starves to death anyway, right? It just takes 6 months.
Do you know what? I like the Jacobite uprising. I did not bother reading to the end. So... Google it, I guess.
We can't do everything.
But that picture, I mean, it's kind of like a beautiful and creepy picture. Have a look. See what it does to your... to your downstairs. Right. The point. Outcest, not incest.
I was down and outcest. We're at the bottom, above the barrel.
Oh dear.
So Tom escapes to France. He's gone. What does Dorothy do to explain his absence to the authorities? Because they know that she's busted him out. They come to find her and they're like, where the fuck is Tom? What does she say?
You'll never find him in a French accent.
Oh, sacré bleu, I've given him away. Oh, no, no, no.
Was it like a Tom's been dead for 10 years situation? It was a goat, the ghost. And ooh, that's full circle.
Good. I love the idea that she just gaslit them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, Tom, never heard of him. Brother. Also, my attitude's fine. I don't know what's wrong with you. What's your issue? That's weird.
Who wants some breast milk?
Oh dear.
Ah, well, I wonder if you do it like that and do it like a pint. And it would just be like, I'm just trying to do some physical gags to say, come to the live shows. Don't come for that. Didn't work. So, guys, she fakes his death. Yeah.
Okay.
She's
how?
Like, well, good question. She says, he's dead. We're having a funeral at Bamborough tomorrow. And so she fills his coffin with something. What does she fill it with?
Popcorn. That's what I want.
Breast milk.
Breast milk.
That's all that's on my mind now. My God. I want to say, like, rocks, because easy to get, heavy.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. That's the whole. That's the whole. It was two reasons. I know comedy runs in threes, but I ran out. Yeah.
You subverted it.
I subverted the expectation. And that is true comedy, everybody. Yeah.
What?
What was that?
Flyers.
It's a one man on the fringe and it's about anxiety and depression. Come on. There you go. You just can't get away from it.
Yeah. Guys, I will tell you, and she fills it with sawdust, which I don't feel like that's going to be heavy enough.
No. And also, if I knocked on a coffin full of sawdust, I would say, sawdust in that.
Just a gift that you have.
I feel like some of you... I was previously a tree surgeon. But you would, you know the difference. Like when you're going along a wall to put a nail in, which is something I've never done, but it happens on TV shows, doesn't it?
I would love to see you at funerals too, just like,
I'm like
knocking just in case.
Nope, sorry, not your nan. That's a 2x4 in there, I tell you. Yeah, go check B&Q. Someone's left her.
I'm sorry to ask a question you might not know, but how did... It's just saying he's died. That doesn't explain, like, but how did you get him out, right? Like, did she have to fess up and say, yes, I let him out and then he died?
Yeah, it's a good question. And actually, the reason why I told you about Tit Dad was because there's actually not that much information about this. It's so annoying. Like, it's such... I loved the idea of her going and saving her brother and faking his death and all of this stuff. But actually, there's so little information. He has a Wikipedia page, the brother. On his Wikipedia page, it says he escapes prison. Like, she doesn't even mention the sister. Right. And the only reason I know about it is because there's a painting of her, tits in, and she and it's got this story. And actually, there's not that much more apart from the fact that she haunts a hotel as a ghost, which we will come back to.
I'm very
because,
excited about that.
Yeah, oh, don't you worry. She says shit to people. She's fucking with people. So she fills it with sawdust.
Uh-huh.
The coffin is buried and Tom gets away. But I know what you're thinking. No story about a female hero would be complete without knowing, does she get married?
Oh.
To sawdust.
There you go. Yeah.
Does she get... What do we think, guys?
I really want to say no, because I don't know why she's gay in my head. Most things are. I don't know. I just like... Like, if there's any opportunity, I just think, no, she was... At a time when, you know, women were oppressed and she's done all this shit for men, there's no way she's marrying one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Surely.
A solid no from Rachel. Katie?
Well, okay, so she's posh.
Yeah.
So she's got a certain amount of freedom. Like, she can be the author of her own destiny up to a point.
Natasha Bedingfield.
That is the best slam we've ever had on this podcast.
That is a solid burn.
Or a great compliment. It depends on the audience. It was a hit.
Oh, yeah, I just decided it was a slam because no one knows who the fuck she is. But is she doing stuff?
But
Don't be horrible to Natasha Bedingfield. Was that? Is that?
I invited Natasha. I'm super sorry. I told you I'd squeeze you in because of the new album drop, but it's gone wrong, Natasha. Leave quietly.
But thank you for the horse fact.
She does have horse girl energy. I will say that about old Nat, as I call her.
I think I've been doing true crime too long because I'm afraid she does get married and that's how she dies.
Ooh. Well, but also, yeah, she probably has to get married to shore up some kind of fortune and family solidarity. So I don't think I don't think it's a love match.
Okay. Well, okay, you're right. She gets married to Lord Crewe because she becomes Lady Crewe.
Of course. I forgot she was a lady.
Yeah. So she does that when she's age 27. Her father initially said no to the marriage because, quite rightly, he has the right to. And why? Ridiculous, isn't it? So... Why was that? Why did her father go no?
Well, maybe this guy's got a reputation of a bit of a Marquis de Sade? What's the one that was all the hitting and stuff?
Yeah, the Marquis de Sade.
Yeah. Maybe he's got one of those reputations.
Oh yeah, he's a sadist.
And the dad's like, oh dear. Mm.
Is Lord Crewe actually hamster? He's like,
but how then interested the dad's was like, he in breast milk is all I keep coming back to.
He needs the money in the end. He's like, oh, the estate's crumbling. You better marry a psychopath.
Okay. So, well, actually, it was a little bit less than that. I mean, Lord Crewe's obviously a lord. He does have money, but she has money as well. And I believe it was a love match rather than they. I do feel they loved each other. Yeah.
That's nice.
But the reason her father initially said no.
In 2 years.
I was really hoping.
Goes and I don't know how they got. That's fine.
But the reason her father said no is because she was 27 and Lord Crewe was 67.
Oh. That's strong.
Well, look, she's going to get the money quicker. Okay, everybody.
Amazing.
Rob that grave, girl. Dig up that sawdust. Yes.
Such a panto audience tonight. I love it. How dead was he?
So Lord Crewe, like a nice guy, I think. From what I could, because he has a fucking Wikipedia page, and what I can tell about him is that he was known for his charitable donations, and because he and Dorothy never had any children, after he died, his fortune was left to establish lots of charities, including schools for boys and girls.
No.
Free medical help, free inoculations for the poor against smallpox, and subsidised corn.
Subsidised what?
Corn. Great guy at a barbecue.
The thing I like is, look, a global health threat, corn. And this is, and I personally, I think this society these days, we don't invest enough in that. There you go.
Yeah.
Also, like, this is the thing, because I'm like, okay, this is a good guy. And then he also apparently left in his will a provision for his old college, Lincoln College, to have an annual thing in his honour. What is the thing?
Oh, boy. Hamster day? Wait, no, he's not a hamster.
An like annual thing in his honour.
Is it a dance, like the Lord Crewe dance?
Okay, the Lord Crewe dance.
I'm trying to think what I would want people to do in my honour, but probably just everyone just sit around and just throw out some compliments. Just everyone say nice things. Every day, every year, they all come together and they're like, what? You know, just what a stand-up guy. And I like to think it was that. Something dedicated entirely to his self.
Okay, selfish.
Yes.
Katie, any advance? Any advance on that?
It was the first drag race.
Crewpaul. That's how it
is. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. But apparently, so he left, he had an annual ovation of champagne and strawberries in his memory. Posh, a bit wanky.
But isn't that nice? Because that's something for everybody else to enjoy. And yeah, I think that's lovely.
Well, I'm not impressed because he's given everyone else corn. but he saved the strawberries and champagne for the rich people.
I believe there were little bits of corn at the bottom of the champagne. Like a raspberry.
Let them eat corn.
So, however, the twist is Dorothy died before Lord Crewe. But was not murdered by
thank
him.
Thank goodness.
Oh, wow. No.
I wasn't happy about thinking what that. Was I just went there.
What was her cause of death?
I was going to say smallpox.
Twist.
What, here, it's like a bit Hamilton-esque, isn't it? Yeah. I said all the letters in the wrong order there, but you got the vibe. Yes, like... Was it that?
Did she choke on corn? Because it can be real dry. You gotta be careful with it.
What I've written is she died in her 30s. So
I guess her 30s killed her.
She died of her 30s.
Well, maybe she was pregnant, though.
She could have been pregnant.
You know, like, she could have had the thing where your sick loads.
She could have had
hypermesis.
Yeah.
Hypermesis.
Oh. I mean, like I say, Google it when you get home. So what would Lord Crewe do at her graveside every day?
You heard her say outcest, you took the tone and you lowered it.
Wow.
No, do we have security actually?
Disgusting.
Everything was real classy up until that point.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
We'd only said cunt like 4 times. Like, we were on a roll. We were. Yep.
Was it wanking?
We've got wanking.
Drinks champagne and goes, cheers.
Sprinkled corn. Oh.
Do you know what? And it is sweet because he was at her graveside every day, which is, my husband's not in tonight, but that is absolutely what I fucking want. Lord Crewe to wank over my grave. just a sentence I didn't think I'd say today. But yeah, no, he'd sit alone for hours by Dorothy's grave every day.
I just can't get over she died of her 30s.
It's like Hollywood.
So we'll bring it all the way back to the Lord Crewe Arms Hotel in Bamborough. Named after your Lord Crewe. And I think this is where they lived and stuff. This is like, it's now a pub and hotel. But this is where you can meet Dorothy because she haunts the halls. Now, what do you think she does in her hauntings? She's a bit cheeky.
Oh. I would like her to explain what her cause of death was. Apparently it's not been recorded.
What did she do to haunt people?
Any advance on?
I don't know. I really disagree with ghosts. So I, like, not... not in, like, I don't believe in them. Like, I just fundamentally... I just find it really rude to stick around when you're clearly not welcome. So I don't know. What was she, like... I don't know. Putting on Wonderwall, something like that. People do that at the end of a house party, don't they? What was she doing?
So she's outstayed her welcome.
She's outstayed her welcome. She's the one guy with the guitar in the corner who's like, oh, 3 more hours. And you're like, Mike, it's your wife really wants you to go home now. You have 2 kids.
All right, I'm going to jump on that and say Sambuca shots.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God, like a flaming ghost. That'd
she's,
be a
she's that guy.
The flaming ghost. Yeah, that's a great, shot name.
Do you know what? She went classic ghost, and she'd sit on the side of your bed. She'd stare at you.
Melody.
And she would say something to you. What does she say?
I saved my brother. Get it on Wikipedia.
Yep.
Credit where credit is due.
We've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty.
Oh my gosh. It's so sad. She'd ask you to take a message to her brother in France.
Oh,
wow. Why can't she just float there? I don't get the ghost parameters. Like, she's stuck in the B&B.
Oh my God, I thought that was a good name for an... I thought that wasn't your name for the afterlife. Like, I was like, I think it's the by and by, is it not? Like,
the
B&B. She's stuck in the B&B.
Grandma's gone on to a better place called the by and by.
Not the B&Q, everybody.
That's where the bad people go. She'd want you to... The message to take to her brother in France was to tell him it's safe to return home from his exile.
Oh.
That's a bit like so babe. Sweet. What a big ask of someone. Like, I feel bad if I'm like, ooh, I've got a package coming and I'm not going to be in. You're like, go to France. That's what I need.
Yeah, we've just come to Banbury for a weekend. Fuck off.
Also, like, presumably, like, her brother is also dead. Why have they not been reunited?
In the afterlife?
Yeah, why can't they just talk to each other now in their...
People get lost in the barn bar.
Fair enough.
It's really big. It's really, really big. It's infinite. Infinite barn bar.
I accept this explanation.
I mean...
Sorry, I'm about to kill you. I had to bring it back one more time.
I mean, so, ladies and gentlemen, that is the little known story of Dorothy Forster. Cheers! Hey, Dorothy. Ah, well, who here has been accused of a murder? Because it's that time that we need a listener crime. Oh, okay. There's a few. Ooh. This person here, come on up! Give her a round of applause! Ooh. Hello, what's your name?
Emma.
Emma, welcome.
I just want to say before I start my crime, thank you guys so much because you got me through my surgery and lockdown. So thank you. So I just want to start with that because you have been absolutely entertaining through the full time.
Every Thursday, clap for us. Thank you, Emma. That's so lovely to hear.
That's cheered me right up. Some of it's Chablis, but... Thank you.
So, long story cut short, I worked in a wedding venue, which is a crime in its own fucking self. And I worked on the bar. I actually sent this to you on Twitter, so I don't know if you've seen it. You know which one I'm on about?
No, but I'm just so glad that you're able to tell it, because if we didn't see
I know
it, then...
the one, because I'm the youngest, so I do the social media. I do, yes. Yeah. Tell us, yes, I know what you mean.
I worked in the bar. I got some beer down my shoes. Happens. You get tons of drunk people. You do get, like, something down your shoes. So I took them off, left them on the side, thinking, it'll be safe, it'll be fine. I'll go and get some other set of shoes. Yeah, perfectly fine. And I come back to check, and the shoes are fucked off into the distance. And there's been a slight development, because I told my colleague about this, and he's like, actually, there's another person it could be.
Go on then. Who are our list of suspects?
So, we have the residents of that wedding. One of them had earlier on asked if I would like £50 for my shoes. And bear in mind, these are shit Primark shoes, but you know they're comfy.
I feel like it's definitely that person.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Suspicious. Yeah. Or there is a person who is a staff member who had a bit of shoe thing going on there.
Like a fetish.
Oh, I thought the first guy was a shoe thing. I thought they all got shoe kings.
Yeah,
if I'm paying £50 for used shoes, it's because they're used, you know, they're not gonna
Men are weird. No offense, guys.
Yeah, men.
Shit, I get on social media, just saying.
I just saw a man in the audience nodding.
Yeah, they all know what I'm on.
We're weird.
And then the other one is a staff member accidentally putting in a bin. So there's technically like a little list of suspects of who to go through. Mm-hmm. Never saw them again.
Very disrespectful if it's the staff member.
You can at least leave a tip. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
It's got to be one of the first two. Because like somebody would have seen them in the bins. Or you'd go, you wouldn't just assume these shoes were rubbish.
I mean, that's the thing. But they're like box standard Primark plimsolls.
It was a shoe fetish.
Like,
it absolutely,
good.
Yeah, and he wanted to. Who else would pay £50 for a pair
again,
of just randomly used
men are
shoes?
Weird. Yeah. People are weird.
So they were the men that. Was it both men that wanted
both
the
men.
Shoes? It wasn't like somebody
like a
wanted,
shoe
wanted to
wedding.
Wear them.
No, not as far as I'm aware.
Oh, they met on Footfinder online. It's so nice. It's wholesome.
Footlocker to a new level.
But is there any chance a woman died of her 30s in the building? Because
actually. So I'm not going to name the place, but it was a castle, and
an
18th century castle.
Oh. Ghost, and this is why I disagree with them.
They're nicking plimsolls.
Like the damn Tories just taking it. It's not yours.
This is great. This is normally we just blame the mother for everything on this podcast, and that's nice that we blamed a poltergeist. We've never blamed a poltergeist before.
A Tory ghost.
It's a Tory fucking ghost. Do you know what? I think it could be the bride, because I recently got married and on my wedding day I was so fucking entitled. I was just like, I guess this is for me. I would take everything. And I think if I saw a pair of shoes, I'd just be like, I guess they're for the bride.
See, this is the worst part, though, because the bride had flip-flops on.
That's a red flag at a wedding, isn't it?
Flip-flops in every single bathroom, so if anyone's feet got tired, she got the flip-flops on.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's actually sweet. Okay, that's nice. Yeah,
we gave people paper napkins. Fuck them. Sorry, Taylor, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's nice to buy your friends.
Just being a bitch.
So to give you some closure, because I think you need some closure, I'm going to say bride, Taylor.
I think it's the guy that offered 50 quid.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the 50 quid guy, because he'd made a move to already try and get them, and then he seized an opportunity. In fact, was he the one that spilt beer on them, so you'd have to take them off?
It was me, because I'm a klutz. Can't blame him for that one. It was me, because I can't pour a pint properly.
But maybe he distracted you. I'm still blaming him.
And Rachel, are we sticking with Poltergeist?
No, I'm actually going to say a drunk woman who wore two high heels. I know it's not in there, but she could be the bride. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Excuse me. Flip flops. Yes. I'm going to say someone who needed them. And isn't that nice if someone needs them more?
Yeah, that's a bit more wholesome than some guy's doing something really disgusting with my
Yeah, that is nicer for you. How did you get home? Did you have to borrow somebody else's shoes?
No, I had a spare set in my car. So,
oh, sorry, you might have said that.
I used to do a lot of horse riding, so I had a set of my jumper boots, and I was just like, I'll slip those on. Those are comfy for the night.
Yeah.
Where were you for pillion?
Only joking. You're keeping your powder dry, and we appreciate it.
Well, I want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for sharing your story. Oh, fish wine.
Have some flat Prosecco.
Well, we are almost at the end of our time together, ladies and gentlemen. It has been a lot of fun. But before we go, Rachel, what are you up to? Where can people find you? Not to punch you in the face,
there's a train station with a very nice piano, everybody. But you've got to take me on a date first, because I'm a classy girl. I'm on social media. I do some online content, but I also write some telly. So if you want to keep up to date with anything I'm doing, I'm that Rachel Harper across platforms. So you can be like, oh, that Rachel Harper. Yeah, that, see? It's branding. Yes, it's me.
Right, well, perfect. Well, I think all that remains to be said is...
Don't breastfeed your dads, okay?
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Harper! We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime. Thank you so much!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.